Today's Shi'ez Masechta Chul and Daf Samach Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Vav of an Aleph at the top of the Amid. The Ma'ikum of Gi. In our previous Shi'er, the Gemara taught us a Machloikus of the Tana de Be'rav and the Tana Be'rishmol. It's interesting to point out that the Rishonim Rashi already points out that the Brisa that was taught by Rav is mentioned as Tana de Be'rav, whereas the Brisa that's mentioned by Rabbi Shmuel is called Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And they explain that Tana Debei Rav is a brisa that was well known. So that's why it's called Tana Debei Rav. Everybody in the yeshiva knows. Tana Debei Shmuel is a brisa that only Rabbi Shmuel and his Talmidim were familiar with. And as we had learned extensively in our previous year, that there was a machlokes between Be'rav and Rabbi Shmuel, how to understand the psukim that the Torah uses when it speaks about which grasshoppers are permitted. The way Rav had learned it was because the Torah had used the word lemineu every time it mentioned one of the grasshoppers, and from here we learn that even grasshoppers that are not mentioned explicitly in the Torah are also included as being kosher. Whereas the way the Tana Debei Shmuel had learned it, they had gotten to that conclusion by learning a klal uprat to klal. And the Gemara wants to know, what is the practical nafkamina between these two approaches? Says the Gemara, the machlekes will be beroisha or kamifgi, when we'll have a grasshopper that has a long head. What will be the halacha? Tana Debei Rav will hold that it's Tana Debei Rav will hold that it's not kosher. Tana Debei Rav is going to hold that a grasshopper with a long neck may not be eaten, whereas the Tana Debei Shmuel will hold that it could still be considered a kosher grasshopper. And the Gemara explains itself. Tana Debei Rav suffer. The Tana de Be'rav is of the opinion, the Torah says, Ashloi Kra'ayim is a klal that talks about all types of grasshoppers that have Kra'ayim. Then the Torah mentions the four types of grasshoppers, Arba, Salom, Chargol, and Chagov. And then the Torah says, Lemineu, which is a prat. So the Torah first said that all types of grasshoppers are kosher. That's considered a klal. And then the Torah says a prat by identifying these four specific grasshoppers. What the Torah means to do by identifying these four specific grasshoppers is to tell us that only these grasshoppers are acceptable. So this is going to be a prat. And we know that the rule is that when we have a klal or prat, he had to done Ela Ka'ena Prat, that the Ein B'Klal El Masha B'Frat, that the Torah only means to include exactly what was said in the Prat. What is not included in the Prat is not included in what the Torah meant. And therefore, we're going to learn the Minei In. Only those types of grasshoppers that are mentioned in the Torah are permissible. The Lav Minei In. Anything that's not included in that list, then the halacha would not include them in the list, would not include them in the list of kosher grasshoppers. And therefore, when the Torah says mineu, it comes to teach us that something which is only completely comparable with all the simonim that these four grasshoppers have, plus the fact that they don't have a long neck, because that's a common denominator of all four of these grasshoppers, those are only grasshoppers that can be considered kosher. And therefore, according to the Tana de Be'rav, a grasshopper that has a long neck is not a kosher grasshopper. But says the Gemara, Tana de Be'rav Shmuel Sofer, whereas if we understand what the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, the way he learns it, Ashloi Kraim is a klal. Then we have the four grasshoppers, Arba Solom, Chargol, Chagov is a prat. Then we have Lemineu is a klal prat, the klal at the don ella kaina prat, and therefore it's much more inclusive. And what's going to be more inclusive, the kamalei kor b'chatzad, that even if it's somewhat similar, and the fact that they don't have a long neck will not be a problem. Says the Gemara, but ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says, we consider this a klal prat, a klal. But ask the Gemara, v'aloi dama klal kam l'klal brasra. How could this be called a klal prat? The first klal, says the Gemara, klal kala ashloi kroayim amrachmona. The Torah used the word ashloi kroayim. From there we learn, the islay, a grasshopper that has kriyayim achal may be eaten. The leslay, loy teichel. So the klal brasra, but then we continue learning the klalim, and the Pasuk says that the second, at the shavu, the second class comes to teach us because Abba Simonim, they have to be completely comparable. And we know that they're not all the same. Says the Gemara, Tana Be'er Shema B'Klal Prai Gad Kai Dovna. This type of Kala Prat, where the second klal is less inclusive than the first klal, but the Marina Ba'alma, the Dawn Tana Be'er Shema B'Klal Prat Kai Gavna, and this that Rebbe Shmuel does include this in a klal prat type of klal, is mehocha we learn from here. Amamar, and the Gemara continues to understand the opinion of the Beir Shmuel. And we learned in our previous shir that Gemara taught us, Ishmai Chagav, if it's called a Chagav, Yochel ain't by kol simonim aloilu, even if it doesn't have any of the other simonim, it'll be enough to be considered a kosher grasshopper, tamalayim lemineu, that the fact that it's called a chagav is inadequate. It has to be actually every kol simonim halalu, has to have all the simonim. So, anybody kol simonim halalu mechitesi, why would we want to say that just because it's a chagav, that is sufficient? Doesn't the pasuk say, arba v'chagal ksiv, that we learn only what's mentioned? Answers the Gemara, Eloi ksiv solom kadakamrit. If the Torah would have just said arba v'chago, you're correct in saying that there's no reason to believe that if something just called a chagov, it should be kosher. Says the Gemara, hashad ksiv solom. So the Torah added solom, as we explained in the previous year, l'rabuyi, that the Torah wants to add something that doesn't have the characteristics of an arba and a saval, which we learned came to teach us that one with a Rosh Aruch is kosher. So once we're seeing that the Torah, by adding names of kosher grasshoppers, what the Torah is trying to accomplish is saying that as any type of grasshopper is sufficient, kamash malam. Ask the Gemara, Mashna Hosram, Damrit Solom Roshan, why in the Braisa that the Beit Rav taught us the Gemara explained that Solom is a Roshan and Chagel is a Nikvail. Why in Abrais do we say Solom is a Nipal and Chagel is a Roshan? What is it? Answers the Gemara, Makasri, Makasri. Every Tana called the various types of grasshoppers that according to what they were called and where they lived. Everybody agreed what a Solom looks like. Everybody agreed what a chargal looks like, that a Solom doesn't have a tail and a chargal does have a tail, but that there are two types of grasshoppers, one with a tail and one without a tail, but what their particular names were different in every different in different places. They were called different names. We learned further in the Mishnah, what we're talking when we speak about fish, what is the definition of a kosher fish? If it has fins and scales. Tana Rabbanan begins the Braisa. The Ramban actually explains that when the Torah says, as we're learning extensively, that to be a kosher fish is snap of a kaskeses, so the Ramban explains that those fish that have fins and scales are able to swim because they have the fins that help them swim, and because they have the scales that protect them, they're able to swim on the top of the water. Whereas the fish that don't have fins and scales, there on the bottom of the water. And the Ramban interestingly says that on the top of the water, there's more air. And because there's more air there, he suggests it's healthier. The swim, he says, the fish that swim at the bottom of the ocean, where there's just earth and dirt, are not going to be as healthy as the fish that swim on the top of the water. And that's why the Torah says, the Ramban says, that only fish that have snapav and keskeses that are kosher, the other ones are not. It says the Gemara Tana Banan, Eloi Achshav, where it doesn't have the fins and scales when the fish is yet small. However, also legal achazman, they are going to grow. Kigoin hapultanus vafaron. These are types of fish that when they're small, they don't have the simana tahara, and they ultimately grow. The halacha is that kosher, that they're going to be kosher. So Tosfos and the Rashba and the Ran all ask a question. In our previous shiur, when the Gemara spoke about chagovim, and the Gemara spoke about chagovim that don't have the simonim when they're young, when they're small, but they ultimately will develop, the Gemara used a pasuk to teach us that we said the word ashaloi, the ksiv is with an aleph and the kri is with a vav. So that was the reason we know that if they ultimately will have simonim, that's kosher. Here, when we learn the Gemara about fish, the fish, the Gemara doesn't bring a pasuk. The pasuk just says, if the fish will ultimately have fins and scales, that is good enough. So they answer, the pasuk, when it speaks about dogim, says, v'kol ha'she'en lo'y snap v'kaskes b'yamim u'min d'cholim, v'kol sheretz ha'mayim v'kol nefesh chaya she'bamayim sheketz ha'im lahem. And Chazal say that wherever the pasuk says ein loy, what it means is to say ein alav, look at what the situation is. And even though it doesn't currently have, if it's going to have ein alav, it's enough to say that it's kosher. Another pshat is ein loy means that it never has, never will have. But if something will have, it's not in the category of Einloi. Says the Braisa further, Yeshloi, Achshav, while it's swimming in the water, they have. However, Sotla Shirim B'Shor She'olim Amayim, but then they shed them as they come out of the water. Kigoyin, Akuna V'Afunam, Kavtiyos V'Aktifos V'Atunos. Since they had them at this point, that's enough Hareza Mutter, that's Mutter. The Dark Tshuva brings a machlokes of achronim, that when we say that if it sheds, it's fine, as long as they had that in the water, was that said only on the kaskeses? That if it has scales when it's swimming in the water, even though they're going to drop those scales, the Gemara is saying it's okay. But what about the fins? Will the fins have the same halacha, that if the fins don't have scales now, but they will eventually have scales, but they have fins that fly off, what will be the halacha? It's very not clear what will be the halacha. Will they be also permissible? He quotes a machroit to sechroinim. So Sam Sorotskin, in his Sefer, Oznayim L'Torah, makes an interesting observation. He says, when the Torah speaks about the camel, it says, a parasai nena mafris. By the Sofan, the Torah says, a paras lo yafris. By the Nevis, the Torah says, lo yafrisu. So the question that he asks is, why does the Torah, by these three different animals, express mafris in three different tenses? Mafris is the present tense, mafris. Sofen Yafris is the future tense, and Anavas Hafrisa is the past tense, Lashon Over. He says it's connected to what we just learned. Agamar just taught us by fish, if they don't have, but they're going to grow, or if they hadn't, they lost it. That's all enough that it should be considered a kosher fish. Says Rav Sorotskin Zitzal, that we would think that the same will be by animals, that even if they don't currently have, but they've had what they're going to have, it should be enough. That's why the Torah teaches us that by a fish, that's the halacha. Or as we discussed a moment ago, by a grasshopper, that's the halacha. But that will not be the halacha by animals. And the animals that the Torah wants to see have the kosher simanim have to be there all the time. And if they're not there all the time, then they're not considered kosher animals. Continues the Gemara Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah teaches us from Sakta Nida. Kosher yesh loy kases. Any fish that has scales, yesh loy sapir, will have fins. V'yesh yesh loy snapir, but there are fish that have fins, vein loy kases, but they don't have scales. And says the Mishnah, yesh loy kases, v'yesh loy snapir. If it has fins and scales, dog tar. Yesh loy snapir vein loy kases. If it has fins and no scales, dag tamei, it's going to be a non-kosher fish. So Taisa says that how did the Gemara know this fact? Says Taisa that we know that the Torah tells us in Parashas Bereishis that Adam and Rishon identify each one of the creatures in the world, animals, birds, fish, and when Adam and Rishon examined all of the fish as he was going to give them their name, he said that this is the fact that any fish that has scales must have fins, but not vice versa. Tysus also gives another explanation that this is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Ksav Sofer says that what will be the nafkamina between these two pshatim? If we'll find a fish that has no fins, but it has one scale, says the Ksav Sofer, that if it doesn't have, that the scale is not going to be enough that to be kosher. Whereas if that's Allah Lomash Masinai, but otherwise maybe it would be kosher. But says the Gemara, now that we've established that any fish that has scales will automatically have fins. So that means we're primarily relying on the scales. Michti, a kaskesis kasam chinen. We're primarily relying on the kaskesis, that that's the primary proof that the fish is a kosher fish. So why, lichter achman kaskesis, it would be enough for the Torah to write kaskesis, but like lichter snapper, it wouldn't be necessary to write snapper. And because as soon as it has a kaskesis, it's good enough. Answers the Gemara. E kas rachmana kaskesis. If the Torah would have only written the word kaskesis, the lekos of snapir, and not written the word snapper, havamina, we would not know how to define the words that are written in the Torah. We might have defined kaskesis as snapper. We might have defined kaskesis as being the fins and not the scales. And therefore will come out, we could result in a terrible situation that a filodag tome, a non-kosher fish, will be considered kosher because we'll see it has fins and we'll think that that's what the Torah means with the kaskesis. Because rachmana snapper with kaskesis, there should be no room for mistake, and we know that both are there. So says the Gemara, but that doesn't really completely help us. So yes, we know that a fish to be kosher has to have a snap of kaskesis. But the Gemara's question is, how do we know what is the snap and what is the kaskesis? Vash the kas rachmana snap of the kaskesis. Now that the Torah wrote both, asked the Gemara, memai the kaskesis levushahu, what makes it be confident that the kaskesis means the scales? Maybe kaskesis is fin, and maybe snapir is scales. Answers tomorrow, we know this differently. Because the Pasuk says by Golius, who went to attack Klai Yisrael, and the Pasuk describes the armor that he was wearing, and the Pasuk says, the Kaivan Nechash Sarosha, the Syrian Kaskasis Hulavash, he's wearing armor that looks like scales, that different layers. So we see that kaskesis means layer. So now we're back to where we started. Now that we know that the definition of the word keskeses is scales, and we know, as the Mishnah taught us in Masechta Nida, that any fish that has scales automatically will have fins, so then why do we have to have both? Let the Rechmana keskeses. Let the Torah just write keskeses. V'lo yilek to snapper, and not need to write snapper. Amravu tarnet b'ri shmol, because yagdel Torah v'yadeh. The Torah wrote both, even though just seeing scales will be adequate, because the Torah wants to tell us, the Torah wants to teach us that what is a kosher fish. And the way I saw many Achroinim explain, this is what I just said is Rashi's explanation, and I saw many Rishonim that explained that what does Rashi mean to say. We've had a discussion more than once in our perek that when the Torah talks about different simonim that make a fish kosher or not kosher, we've said many times that is it a simon? Is it just a simon what's kosher? Or is it a siba? Is it something that makes it kosher? And what the Torah is trying to teach us here is that this is the siba. What makes the fish kosher is the fact that it has fins and scales. And the fact that it has fins and scales is what makes the fish kosher, not that it's a simen. So yes, indeed, once we know that it has scales, we know it must have fins, and now we therefore know for sure it's a kosher fish. But what the Torah is trying to teach us is that you have that what makes a kosher is the presence of both fins and scale. And from here we learn, I saw that the Leif Simcha says, the power of every word in the Torah. The Torah is telling us the word snapir, and we're saying in our shir, it really doesn't teach us anything practical. It just teaches us something to understand. It doesn't teach us anything practical. But Lahagdol Torah Ladir, it's coming to teach us the power of every word in the Torah. And in fact, I saw from the Strick of a Rebbe Zatzal, he explains that we know that many have a minig teach fish on Shabbos. Why? Because we know that during the week, we're busy with all sorts of activities. And since we're so busy all week long, it's hard for us to learn. Shabbos, we don't have an excuse not to learn. When we speak about fish, fish is something where the Gemara just applied the concept of lahagdol Torah ladira. And therefore, he says, Shabbos, where we speak about lahagdol Torah ladira, is the right day to eat fish. Another explanation, he says, why we eat fish on Shabbos, we just learned before that the fish that had the simonim while they were swimming in the ocean, and then they shed the simonim, a kosher. And what's the lesson? That once something has the simoni tahara, even if they lose those simoni tahara, they still remain kosher. The lesson being very much that the same by somebody who spends the Shabbos privately, as properly, and he spends the Shabbos learning Torah, even though during the week he may not be able to learn as much as he wanted to, but the fact that he learned on Shabbos, lahagdol Torah la'adira, that he had that Shabbos learning, then the halacha is that will help him be strong all week long. It's interesting also to point out that the Sefer Divrei Yishol from the Majid Rebbe says very similar. The snapper and kekeses represent fish. It represents fish that could swim, that could jump. And we learn from here that something that could swim and jump, something that could go higher and higher, is what's kosher. And that's what we have to learn. The other explanation that I saw is that fish multiply very quickly. And it's most interesting that many mefarshim, many sfarim point out that the last mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of Atam Kisluchem Shira Zois, to write the Vrei Torah, to write Chidushei Torah. And the first mitzvah in the Torah is Piririvya. And we think Piririvya represent having children, which of course it does. But Piririvya even also represents being Mechadish Chidushei Torah. And that's how the last mitzvah of the Torah, which speaks about writing Torah, and the first mitzvah of the Torah, which speaks about Piririvya multiplying, it's all speaking about Chidushei Torah. And that's why fish, which are paravarava, fish that, as I said a moment ago, are constantly multiplying. Alahagdal Torah la'adira. We want to, again, this the B'nai Soska says, want to stress the lesson of paravarivya in a place where there's lahagdal Torah la'adir. If there's lahagdal Torah la'adir, that's where we want to, how we magdal Torah v'adir? Through paravarivya, by writing and being mechadish chedusha Torah. The Sefer of Yechi Yosef and the Pupu Rebbe says that if somebody, the diet of what we eat, somebody who eats only kosher food, it influences who you are and how you behave. If somebody eats only kosher food, it has a positive influence on the person. And if somebody doesn't eat kosher food, chas v'sholem, it has a negative influence on who we are. So what the Gemara is saying is, if we want to be individuals who are yagdal Torah v'yadir, if we want to be people who are able to teach Torah, to learn Torah, that we have to eat kosher fish. Because only by eating kosher food can we be individuals who will ultimately be able to be magdal Torah v'yadir, will be able to learn more Torah and teach Torah and learn Torah. The halacha, says the Rashba, is that if somebody is served a slice of fish on which he sees scales and doesn't see any fins, then he could assume the fish is kosher because he could assume that the fins were removed. The Parisha says, even if you examine the entire fish and you don't see any fins, you look for the fins, it doesn't make a difference because the Parisha says that we could assume that the fins, as we've been discussing, came off while the fish was still in the water. The Medani Yantif says that when he was the Rav of Vienna, a certain Dr. Aaron showed him a poisonous fish called the Stinkus marinus, which had scales, but it didn't have normal fins, it had legs. And Dr. Aaron said that according to what was saying in our Gemara, this fish must be kosher. It must be, if it has scales, the Gemara is teaching us if it has scales, it certainly has fins. And he says that these legs of this fish must be the fins. However, Dr. Aaron said he was bothered that this is a poisonous fish. And how could a poisonous fish be considered kosher? We know that we often quote the pasuk that says, the ways of the Torah are so pleasant. And when we say the ways of the Torah are pleasant, certainly the Torah would have never said that a poisonous fish is kosher. The Medani Yontif says that this type of fish didn't actually exist at the time of Matan Torah, and it just was produced by mixing breeds later on. So that's why this fish is not included in what the Torah meant. But then the Medani Yontif says that when our Mishnah says the rule that if it has scales, it must have fins, it's speaking about fish. Fish have that fact. If it has scales, it's going to have fins. But he suggests that this is not considered a fish. It's considered a sea creature. A sea creature is not a fish. And therefore, the halacha of Gemara, what is kosher, what is not kosher, would not be applicable. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "Azah tachu mikolash b'yam mikolash noisnap v'kaskas b'mam yam nechayim ois tachelu." And then the Torah continues,
V'kol, asha'en lo'y snap v'kaskasas b'yam v'menachalim, v'kol shar tzamayim, v'kol nefesh chai, asher b'mayim, shar k'tzayim l'chem, v'shar k'tzayim l'chem, v'msorom lo'y say chelu, v'psorom lo'y say chelu, v'z nevlosom t'shaketsu, kol asha'en lo'y snap v'kaskasas b'mayim, v'mayim shar k'tzayim l'chem. Says the Gemara, mash nemar, achol asher yesh lo'y. When the Torah says we're only allowed to eat fish that have fins and scales, shemani, we could easily understand that loy al toicha ain loy. If it doesn't have fins and scales, we may not eat it. Because as we often have, that a lav haba machlal asay, a lav that's extrapolated from a say, is a mitzvah asay. Mimash shenemar al toicha asha ain loy. If the Torah says, don't eat fish that don't have both of fins and scales, so we understand shemayini echol sheishlo. If they do have, we may eat it. So why asked the Gemara v'loy mashonam? Why was it repeated? Lav of love. The Torah wants to teach us there will be over both an essay and a lois essay if we eat fish that are not kosher fish. As we speak about fish, there are a number of questions that come up. One question that comes up is that we know the Torah says that the halacha is that we first have to feed our animals before we feed our fish, before we feed ourselves. The question that the Shas and Chuvos Mishnah Halachos discusses is that apply by fish as well. And the reason an argument can be made that it doesn't apply by fish, because the halacha is that fish don't have to have shechita. What's the reason that animals may only be eaten if they're properly slaughtered? Is because the Torah was concerned about the tzar bal chayim of animals. How do we see that the Torah was concerned? By the Torah mandating that they have to be slaughtered. They can't just be killed in a way that would be painful to them. But that's only by animals, but not by fish. But then there's a different explanation that the Shaul Yaivitz suggests. He says that animals don't have food so readily available. And because animals don't necessarily have food so readily available, that's what the Torah says, you have to feed them before we eat. However, fish that have their sustenance so readily available, the water that they swim in, so we don't have this halacha. But there would be a very big nafkamina. Because what would be fish that you have at home that the only reason they're getting their food is because you're serving them whatever you serve fish? So if we say that it's connected to the Hilcha Shechita and there's no Shechita by fish, so there would be no reason that you should have to feed your fish before we eat. But if it's because they're dependent on fish in the sea are not dependent on us serving them food, they are, then the halacha is it might be different, which opens up a question: is there tzar bal chayim on fish? For example, removing the scales of a fish, obviously taking it off by a knife or whatever other method, could be painful. And the question is: are we allowed to do so to fish while they're still alive, or should we wait till they die? And it seems quite clear that the Torah says v'rachmav al-kol masav. And since it says v'rachmav al-kol masav, we should never do something which is painful to anyone, and a fish is included in that. The question that also comes up, what will be the halacha if a fish has scales, but they're only visible through a microscope or through a magnifying glass? What will be halacha? And the halacha is that Shach says that if scales are only visible through magnification, the halacha is that they're kosher as long as they are removable. As long as they're removable, that would be acceptable. But it seems that there are other poskim that say that that is not the way to determine if they're visible. Because if that's the way that we're going to determine if they're visible through magnification, So it turns out that the halacha of fish, which fish are kosher and which fish are not kosher, will change over time, as there will be more sophisticated equipment available through which we could see if the fish is kosher or not, it has scales or not. That will change the status of the fish, which seems to be complicated and a difficult result. And therefore, it seems, and I think that's what Aruch HaShulchan means to say, the way you don't have to be able to see it just if you put it on the table. If you put it out in sunlight, and when it's you put it out towards facing the sun, and the sun shines on it, and you could see the scales, the halach is that that fish will be kosher. But it has to be seen with the naked eye in the sun. If it requires magnification, that might not be considered enough to make it into a kosher fish. After the Torah speaks about the animals and the behemoths, the chayas, the birds, the grasshoppers, the fish, as we've been speaking, now the Gemara begins to speak about the shrotzim. There are two. When we think of shrotzim, we think of shrotzim, and we think that there are shrotzim that we're never allowed to eat as sherets. But it's actually, as we're going to see in our coming shiurim, not that straightforward. There are actually two types of shrotzim that are not usur. One are shrotzei hamayim, fish, sea shrotzim, that formed in kalim, not in the water and not in rivers. And then, in this halach we've spoken about, sheretz haaretz. Sheretz haaretz is something that creeps on the ground. And if we will have a sheretz that never crept on the ground, then the halach will be that sheretz, given the circumstances we're going to be discussing, will be mutter. So if we have a sheretz hamayim that's found in the yam, the pasuk says very clearly that that's prohibited. The pasuk says the kol she'en lo snap of kaskeses biyamim v'necholim. They don't have fins and scales, and they're in the water. Because sheretz hamayim kol nefesh achayish shebamayim sheketzayin lechem. Then we have shretzim that could be found in charitzim and the itzim. Charitzim and the itzim are similar to rivers. They are flowing water. They have an inlet for the water and an outlet for the water, and they're on the ground. Then we have a sheretz, which formed in like a puddle of rainwater. And then we have a sheretz that we just mentioned that is found in a keli. So begins the Gemara, the pasuk says, Azat toichlim kol shebamayim, kol shloi snape v'kaskeses b'mamim, b'mayim b'yamim b'ncholim oisim techelu. And the question is, what does the Torah mean to say? The pasuk began with the words Azat toichlu. What is the Torah trying to repeat by ending the pasuk, the oisim techelu? Mat hamaloimer, what is to be learned from those words? Says the Gemara, as we just said, there are times when we may eat shrotzim, that, as we said, if they form in a keli, only if they form in water are they prohibited. So yachal ha'ol v'hitter, so we would say that b'mfurish, we can't hit the besosim, just like we find that the sheretz hamayim could be mutter, and the kishitim b'mfurish lehitter, when the Torah says that we could have a sheretz that doesn't have, that's a sheretz, it doesn't have, it's a creature that doesn't have snap of kaskeses. So we would say that anywhere else, if it grew in Baris Sichon Ma'aris, or grew in Charitzim Itzim, they're osur. Menayin L'Rabbis Baris, how do we know that if you have water in a pit? Now, the difference, according to most Rishonim, between Boris Sichas and Moiris are the way, the shape of that water. How do we know that you have water, that you're allowed to just bend down and drink that water, and you don't need to be concerned about Shkotzim? Tamaloimer, Toichlu Shebamayim, that even those that are found in the Boris Sichin in Ma'aris, you may drink. And that's why the Pasuk says the word, oisim batachelut, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to eat them. The Torah says it twice. One is talking about when they're in Boris Sichon Ma'iris, and the other place is come to teach us that if it's standing in standing water, then you're allowed, only if it's the water is flowing. So if it's water in a keli, it's mutter, or if it's not flowing water, it's mutter, says the Gemara. But the Braisa made a statement that what's in kelim is mutter. So ask the Gemara, heichan hitta b'kelim, where do we find that those types of shkatz ma mutter? The ksiv has that title, mikol she b'mayim, kol she lo yisnava kaskes b'mam yomim n'cholim ois t'chelu. So you learn b'yamim n'chelu. What's in the yam and the chelu, that's where there's a rule. Ki esle choyl, if it has a snap and kaskasas, they may be eaten. The lesle, if they don't have snap and kaskasas, lo teichu, ha b'kelim, but when we speak about shkotzim, shrotzim, that are in kelim, there, even afkav the leslo, even if they don't have snap and kaskasas, achol. Emo, maybe what the pasuk is coming to teach us, b'kelim, Avgav de Isle Loitechel. Maybe what the Torah is coming to teach us is that if they're in Kalim, not only may they not be eaten when they don't have the snap of the Kaskasis, but they would not be allowed to be eaten even if they have snap of the Kaskasis. Says the Gemara, that isn't a legitimate, that isn't a reasonable halacha. Loisakadat exiv kala she'en lo snap of the Kaskas, but mamim yichelim, because sheretz amayim. Here we learn that what swims in the yamim nechalim then may not be eaten if they don't have snap of a kaskasis. Habakalim, avgav de lesle, even if they don't have snap of kaskasis, they may be eaten. And that's what grows in kalim. And now the Gemara is teaching us that that halacha is not limited only to kalim. But also, if we have standing water, you're allowed to drink from that water, and you need not be concerned about any shrotzim creatures that don't have snap of kaskasis. You could drink the water without any question.